It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is explaining why Israel has fallen, and he asks the question, have they stumbled that they should fall? And Paul is explaining this great mystery. He says in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" You hear what he's saying? In other words, as the Jews rejected Jesus, that has led to Gentiles, all the nations of the earth, to receive him. And more the Gentiles come to Christ, the more there will be Jewish belief, because Jews are going to get jealous and some will come. The more this happens, the more there will be fullness of Israel, the true Israel. And so when they're being cast away, the world is being reconciled. When they come in through this great provocation, that means that their acceptance is life from the dead. They are becoming alive in Christ. There is right now, that's the burden of this, Israelites coming, Jews coming, according to the election of grace. And think of how much greater that fullness will be when more and more come to believe when they see the Gentiles receive Christ. And that's why I said yesterday, preach Jesus. But let me say, it makes me lament what's gone on over the radio waves and in this land with the obsession of national Israel in the future. How Israel is the apple of God's eye. We need to support Israel. And so people are sending money to rebuild the temple, to establish their furniture in the temple. We need to say what the apostles said to them. What did the apostles say to the Jews? When they rejected their Messiah, they gave a prophetic word of judgment. You're judging yourselves unworthy of everlasting life because you're rejecting your Messiah. And because of that, God has turned from you to the Gentiles. See how bad it is to say and support Israel in their unbelief? It's unbelievable. So Paul is saying, and this is ironic because this is the thing that doesn't happen, but Paul is saying the greatest cause to Israel, that nation that sits in unbelief right now, is for us to preach Jesus, not put up charts behind the pulpit and try to figure out who the horsemen are and those sort of things. This is ludicrous. The greatest cause for Israel is for us to preach Christ, to preach Christ from the Old Testament, to show him as the fulfillment of all the promises made to Abraham and to his seed. Because the greater that effect, the greater the provoking of jealousy is to the Jews. And Paul says, I hope that's the case, because I know that God's going to save some of them through that provoking, who are going to become the fullness of Israel, the remnant according to the election of grace that is now coming, Romans 11. You ever notice how the Bible prophecy people, in these, their message, that's all they talk about? The work of Jesus is rarely talked about, and it makes sense. Because they want to reestablish Israel under the Mosaic law, under the law of Moses, not realizing they want to establish Israel again under a ministry of death. I asked at the beginning of this week, do we really want to go back to shadows? Do we really want a man-made temple when Christ has entered the heavenly for us and sat down in the Jerusalem above, who is the mother of us all? Do we really want that? Do we want to reestablish sacrifice and offering? Doesn't Hebrews say if you do that, you crucify the Son of God again and put him to shame and there's no forgiveness? You see? I want to say to these Bible prophecy pundits, you're hurting your own cause. Stop trying to figure out the newspaper and the waters of Jordan literally drying up and these sort of things. Go preach Jesus. Go preach Jesus. If every Christian minister had that burden to go preach Christ from the Old Testament, can you imagine how this might be blessed? And Paul makes this point. He desires to make very clear what has happened. He wants us to understand that the result of Israel's stumbling has a great result upon the Gentiles. He provides a powerful analogy. Listen to what he says. This is verse 16 of Romans 11. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, talking to the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. The analogy here is taken from a figure in the Old Testament. Numbers 15, you have a description of an offering of a cake to the Lord that was prepared from the first fruits of the grain. And when this offering was brought, the entire grain harvest was consecrated to the Lord. Well, he applies this to Israel. Israel's the root, the olive tree, which really is Christ. He's the true Israelite. And the branches that belong are the ones consecrated to the Lord. Now, some of those were broken off for unbelief. They were not the true Israel. So when the unbelieving Jews were broken off, and the Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, have been what? Listen to the language. Grafted in among them. Notice the language. And with them became partakers of the root and fatness, the richness of the olive tree. My friends, listen carefully. That answers the whole charge of a replacement theology. Who believes the church is replacing Israel? That's not what that just said. Gentiles are grafted into the olive tree, the root of Israel. We're talking about the true Israel as defined in chapter 9. Not all Israel is of Israel. Unbelieving Jews were cast off, but God always had a true Israel. People like Jacob and Abraham and Isaac and the Elijah, the 7,000 of his day who were reserved. And the Gentiles, now listen to this, have been grafted into that olive tree as members of the true Israel of God. Galatians 6 even calls the church the Israel of God. That's not replacing. It's saying the Gentiles were grafted in. So then, in one breath, Paul dismantles two separate salvation plans and two peoples of God. There aren't. There are one people. And Gentiles are grafted into the olive tree of which both elect Jews and elect Gentiles together form the true Israel of God. Now, if people would simply read their Bibles, they would see this is nothing new. This is nothing shocking. This had always been prophesied. What did God say to Abraham? In you, Abraham, all the Gentiles of the earth shall be blessed. So who has Abraham as their father? Well, those of faith of Abraham, not of bloodline. In fact, remember what Paul described in chapter 9. God has made known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And remember, he cited Hosea there. Remember what happened in Hosea's day? He had an unfaithful wife. All of that symbolized Israel being an unfaithful wife to the Lord. What did the Lord do? He made a declaration. Lo, Ami, you're not my people. What was the curse? He spread them over the face of the earth. What was the promise that came after that? I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who were not beloved, and shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you're not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. That was in Gentile lands, where believing Jews and Gentiles together were declared to be his people. We're one people. Gentiles have been grafted into the olive tree as the fulfillment of the promises made to Abraham. We are the Israel of God. That's not replacing. That's saying we're the fulfillment of those promises as Jews and Gentiles together are one. Look, that's just what Ephesians 2 says. Read this carefully, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Now listen to this. That at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, okay, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Listen, who's made both one? Who are the both? Israel, Jew and Gentile, one. And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, listen, one new man from the two. So from Jew and Gentile, one new man, one new Israel of God. The Gentiles are grafted in, thus making peace that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, not two bodies, one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And then he talks about this holy temple. People are looking for a man-made temple. He says, no, you're the temple. You guys together grow into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. Notice this language. One, together, brought near, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This fullness of Israel is happening now. That's the emphasis in Romans chapter 11. Now, now, now. And if you go through the Old Testament, you'll find the same teaching. But you, this is Isaiah 41. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Who is that? You whom I've taken from the ends of the earth. He just said, all those from the ends of the earth are his Israel and called from its farthest regions. And has said to you, you are my servant. I've chosen you and have not cast you away. There's no such thing as a replacement theology. It's a fulfillment theology. The glorious message of the New Testament is God has broken down boundaries. There's now neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. That, my friends, is a glorious gospel of fulfillment.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.